Oh, yeah, I do. It's
awesome really sound.
Ask your smart speaker to play the SoCal sound.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, as you know it. Please don't leave me, girl.
FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
I'm not the same.
Simma, who got the keys to my bimmer? Big time driller, monkey to gorilla. Who is this woman that I'm seeing in the mirror? Drink 42 and smoke cigar. Name one time where I didn't deliver. Silent figure, I was just on the ends, dropping gems with my friends. I got a 3310 and a pack of blems. Then got the gold, full black, circle back again. Rapping when nothing progressive was happening. Ooh, pain tolerance couldn't break us. Pay homage if you respect how we came up. Cool, cool. Trying to get to the paper, hitting from Jamaica, might do me a favor. True, big simmer, dipping 10 toes. Bank got bigger, been a different species. Tunes in a locker, been waiting to unleash these. It's a no-show if you can't guarantee fees. I ain't got one threat to consider. Heaven and earth attached to one pillar. Rest in peace to Mac Miller. New Sims dropped to shake the whole thing up. What's next? We'll be here for months talking about prospects. Staying on my job, yes sir. And rain is against her. I'm river resistant on my polyester. Run through the jungle, they should have never let her. Cuts and wounds, I hope never will fester. Yeah, big art collector, silent investor, film director. Beating on my chest, going ape, putting in a grave shift. Ain't life what you make it, yeah, it is. Cutting through the jungle in an all black fitted hat low, incognito living. Introvert, but she ain't timid. My art will be timeless, I don't do limits. No. Be very specific when you talk on who the best is. How can I address this? Basically, the rest is almost like to me what a stain to a vest is. You ain't dropped nothing in my eyes, I'm impressed with. Please don't be offended. But I'm not in the business of pretending. I've got lines if you wanna get renting. I'll find the agony on and get venting. Stop flooding my mentions with nonsense. Talking on Sims like she's someone you went school with. Awkward. From there you've been the cool kid. Rap stars, hope and faith I'm restoring. Don't ask my opinion on nothing, cause to make you feel good about yourself is exhausting. I got bangers out in the world soaring, and I got bangers in the vault I've been hoarding. Yeah, true, I got tennis in the morning. Before I start swinging, that man's gonna need a warning. Red light whenever I'm recording. Red light on the forehead of the informant. See, I'm the only one on Gorilla. Sims is back here, yeah, just got Rilla. Yeah. No choice now but to fill us. I know the streets will love it like I brought my skin up. So simmer down, little homie, simmer. All that talk get you rubbed out quicker. I'm cut with a different scissor. From the same cloth as my dear ancestors. That's why this here gives you the shivers. I'm that cold. Going higher. Going higher. Yeah, we are. Say what? It's about time. We got the just news for the world we put in over a decade in this, you know. Yeah, man. Woo! Say he never called another woman me or more. So I opened up the way and now he adore. Did it on a wave, I don't play, get you seasick. Charged up, fully barred up, I'm unleashed in.
Another flow. Every time I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing this cool, but don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block, I had my cut off shorts on right, cause it was crazy hot. I walk past these dudes when they pass.
was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break the clock. I punched him dead in his eyes and said, again, I put your handcuffs. I guess I fell so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. This is my notice to the duel, not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore, that's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you wait and see.
Who you calling a
wishing the queen of hip-hop, Queen Latifah, the happiest of birthdays on Sunday, March 18th. That was UNITY, and something new from Little Sims, Gorilla, off her latest album, No Thank You. Welcome to She Rose Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you, as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. And stay with us for this week's featured interview with Nikki Lane. Now something new from artist to watch, Hannah Jadagu. Her debut Aperture is coming out on Sub Pop Records on May 19th. This is What You Did.
get the picture.
Hey, you, the muscles and the long hair, telling me that women are superior to men. Most guys just don't appreciate this. You just try convincing me you're better than them. So he talks for hours about his sensitive soul, and his favorite subject is sex. I don't even think he really wanted it, but Christ, this guy's too much.
Comes the next one.
Blondie was with me for a summer. He flirted like a maniac, but I wouldn't bite. I'm weak and he was so persistent. He only had to have me cause I put up a fight.
Oh God, the boy has such an ego. He liked to talk about himself all day and all night. You would think you're such a lady killer, but you were nothing special till you turned out the light. When he's nice to me, he's just nice to himself, and he's watching his reflection. I'm a 5 foot mirror for adoring himself. His 7 years back life.
I wanna tell him,
when you say you love me, you're just flattering your vanity. But I don't need your practice lines, your school of charm mentality. So save your breath for someone else and credit me with something. Such a lady killer, always on the winner, thinking that you're in there. Oh boy, you're such a lady killer, super sexy mister, call it what you will. You think you're such a lady killer, I just bet you're still there, posing in the mirror. Hey girls, you're such a lady killer, but we know where it's coming from.
The score.
Happy birthday to Mickey Bereny of Lush. She shares a birthday with Queen Latifah Sunday, March 18th, and that was Lady Killers on She Rose Radio. Plus new music from Hannah Jadagu, What You Did, a taste of her upcoming debut album, Aperture. I'm Carmel Holt, and next up, it's this week's featured interview with Nikki Lane. Stay with me.
This is what listener-powered radio sounds like. The SoCal Sound.
Support for the SoCal Sound is...
Support comes from Live Nation. The SoCal Sound is your chance to see Counting Crows, the Banshee Season Tour, with special guest Dashboard Confessional at YouTube Theater September 6th. Current members can see contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase is necessary. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Counting Crows, YouTube Theater, September 6th.
Turn your unwanted vehicle into something more productive. The SoCal Sound accepts vehicle donations as a form of support for the programming you love. The tow is free, and donating is easy, and your donation may be tax deductible. Fill out our secure online form at thesocalsound.org/donate or call 877-527-6123 to speak with our vehicle donation support team.
Sounds like Orange County, Los Angeles, Ventura County, San Diego. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. This week's guest has been dear to my heart ever since her debut, All or Nothing, came out in 2011. Not only is she a fantastic songwriter and performer, she is a genuine outlaw country Shiro, a rebellious tough girl with a tender heart, and as she dubbed herself on her last record in 2017, a highway queen who has logged countless miles as a touring musician and a woman who suffers no fools, but does it always with a smile. Nikki Lane grew up in South Carolina, dropped out of high school at 17, and moved to LA, then New York, and then finally Nashville, both pursuing a now thriving vintage clothing business called High Class Hillbilly and life as a musician, an entrepreneurial hard worker with a heart of gold. On her fourth album, Denim and Diamonds, Nikki teamed up with Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age as her producer and finally found the sound that she'd been striving for on an album that sees her reflecting on the roads that got her here, even if some of the roads are darker ones. I'm thrilled to welcome Nikki Lane as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Nikki Lane, welcome to Shiro's.
It's nice to be here and to get to hang out and talk to you again.
Congratulations on Denim and Diamonds. We're long overdue to do this. It came out in September. Any thoughts now that you have a little bit of distance from when it was first released?
You know, I was excited to go back in to like a post-pandemic tour environment. The record had taken such a long time just for me to feel like writing and going again. And so I think if you would have spoken to me in September, I was nervous to get back out there. I love all of the data and like the Tetris behind being a touring musician as far as money and stuff goes. And yeah. I wouldn't look at the ticket counts because I didn't want to psych myself out because I knew that they might be a little light because of the way venues are changing and the oversaturation of the market. But I just didn't want to get nervous. I just wanted to keep going. And I don't have an interest in learning how to produce per se. Maybe like creative director have like a idea over the concept behind a record. But sonically, I'm never going to be well-versed in enough. So you are trusting of these producers and partners and the engineers they choose to define what you sound like. And that's nearly impossible because the only real way to show you is if I could utilize all those tools. So as I've learned to play more diligently and write more true to myself, more so each record, I felt like I've gotten closer to that sound, but I'm always, you know, a little bit imposed by people's personal taste, the stuff they grew up listening to. It's just never going to be right on. And then I finished this record and it was just a weird experience for all of us, you know, in the pandemic, making a bubble, being the like 10 people we got to see every day and like being excited to see people outside of our homes and sharing some more vulnerable side of my past, you know, in this record. And I texted Josh Homme when we were done and I was like, well, I will maybe make more records, but this one did it. And he's like, yeah, what? And I'm like, this is like the one that sounds like me. We worked really hard. He was very adamant about pushing me forward to like say what I did and didn't like. And I feel like this record's reflective of me. And even though I also feel that way about the younger versions, I feel like I've matured into the artist that represents me. I've checked that box off. And that took seeing it do well, you know, but also I felt really satisfied with it when it was done.
What an achievement, and also so beautiful that for the album that feels the most personal, the most vulnerable, you kind of feel like it's higher stakes to get it sonically right.
Yeah, but it almost came in the opposite direction that when I felt like he got me, I started showing him stuff because I knew it was called Denim and Diamonds before I had written the song. You know, I knew the record was going to be called Denim and I own the LLC, you know, before I had the song written. I knew
that's
it,
so
I
you, was, Nikki.
I know, but I was reaching towards it, you know, before it was even done. But yeah. Then old songs like Faded and Live in Love, they were 10 years old. And I really just felt safe to give them to people. You play Faded for someone and they go, oh, that's dark in there. And I'm like, oh, that's really me. And so that takes a trust that Carla Azar on drums, Michael Schumann on bass. It was just all really cool people. I think they're cooler than me because they come from the rock world and that's what I listened to, but it wasn't how I sang, you know? And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll just show you my song. And then they're like, you're cool. And I'm like, oh, you think I'm cool, you know? And it's just fun. It's fun to still think people are cooler than you because I mean, I think I'm awesome, you know? So, you know, when you meet people that are just kind of, you know, I say I talk all the time, but I got to eat Thanksgiving dinner with Willie Nelson and I don't think anybody knows what my voice sounds like because I'd go, well, Armadillo World Headquarters. And then he'd go, And there wasn't no reason for Nikki Lane to say nothing. You know?
Well, since you're talking about Faded, why don't we play a clip of that here? And do you want to set the song up for us? Tell us a little bit more in detail what the song is about. Why did people say it was dark?
I think it just resonates with a very scary period of my life, of my childhood, where you go inward to avoid what's happening around you. And I found myself in different moments of my adult life slipping into that same headspace and realizing that those relationships and closeness wasn't really a safe space and that I was slipping away. I think it's called disassociation to protect myself. And as with most things that I've put out in records, I find that lots of people have had to use the same tools. And so it was important to me to be honest about some of the scary parts of my childhood that maybe would resonate for young people and adults alike now.
Standing in.
Faded. Nikki Lane is here with us on She Rose Radio. The most recent album is called Denim and Diamonds. It's album number 4, her first in 5 years. And there's a quote here. Prior to this album, I was so focused on writing about life on the road that I just didn't have the headspace to write about the road that got me here. That's so profound.
I felt like I was just getting really reflective. I hear that back and I'm like, wow. But you have to talk it out. You know, it stumbles out. And then somebody goes, that's how I feel. I left South Carolina and I complained about it forever. And while I was complaining about it, Greenville was actually popping off. Great restaurants, great food, great people. And I just kept complaining. And then I went home and I was like, dang, it's pretty cool, you know? And so I had to really pay attention to the fact that I have all these young people come and work for me and they don't know how to use a power drill. And I go, well, good Lord, there's one button, you know? But I realized that I'm very grateful that I grew up in a small town where it was like, well, go fetch it and do it yourself. And well, there's no one that's coming to do that specialty thing. And what do you mean you don't know how to make a toilet work or stop running? You know, all of those small town qualities, you know, they can lead to a closed-minded life where the city can scare you to death. But I was really naturally enthralled by big city and lights and possibility. But it's all those core lessons and work ethic and stuff that's helped me to really balance and be able to do it really well. You know, live a big dreaming life is that foundation. And so I'm quite grateful for all of the hardships and challenges. You know, when the record had come out, my granddad passed away like the day of the release, like a couple days before, and they wanted me to potentially come home for the memorial. And I was struggling because I could have left New York. I was up there and gotten back in time for CBS Saturday. I mean, I was going to have to run myself ragged. And I was like, no. First of all, my granddad was kind of a jerk to me, which was why I was begrudging to him and became successful. And second of all, he missed all kinds of things for work. You know what I mean? Like, he would be proud of me for being able to get to do all this week. He wouldn't want me to go stand out there. I went to see him before he passed because, frankly, I told him I wasn't going to have time. And it was something that was a difficult relationship growing up, but propelled me forward. And I feel quite settled with my decisions. And I know that he wouldn't be mad at me for making them because that's how I got this way.
Yeah, that takes a certain level of maturity. Take stock of all that and see all of it as a gift. You know, I'm trying to think back to other times that I've talked to you before, and I don't really know how much I know about your background. I don't know if it's okay to go there.
Sure.
Since we're kind of touching a little bit about your childhood and what it was like when you were growing up and what role music had for you and where that came into the picture.
I think as a child, I was like very creative. That's very natural. Like in my family environment, but we were just lower income family and then a divided household with two single lower income families. So a lot of the creativity came for me later on, like especially to pursue a career, because I was always looking for an employer, you know, just give me a solid footing. And so basically me and my little sister were born in a remote town in South Carolina between Greenville and Spartanburg. It's a very small town that just kind of falls in between a few highways. And my dad, I mean, frankly, was an abusive person when I was a child, and he's my close friend and I love him very much. And that's the first time I've ever said that on air or anywhere, but it's just the truth. And it created a lot of division in our household and a lot of fear. And a single mother who was, like, frankly, mimicking some of the damage she was receiving in the household. And it was a dysfunctional childhood, like many people have, you know. But my mom was very adamant about providing for me. Strong memories of, like, her giving me money for a field trip and not realizing that she was foregoing like lunch money for herself. And she was very into like trying to win things on the radio, winning $500 on the radio, you know, just like my mom is everybody's mom now, you know, and she just has a very strong spirit and worked really hard to be a single mother. And while we didn't have a functioning dad at times, we had a really fun, loving, wild father who, to let me kill time, would let me take the bulldozer and knock over trees in the yard, or ride a horse that he had gotten us for Christmas, or buy two like aluminum bodied patio chairs from the airline magazine and pull them behind a go-kart around the property with a ski rope. We could do anything we wanted to. And it was to make up for what he couldn't provide emotionally. And so it was a rival of my mom trying to hold it together and keep us from breaking our arms, and my dad trying to prove he was the cooler of the two parents, you know, and that created a lot of fun and a lot of chaos. And I had two granddads. My grandmothers were awesome, but my granddads were largely influential in my life. One by my stubborn granddad, who had passed away at the record coming out, for doubting that we could do anything because he had been disappointed with my father. So it was like, I was either going to be an engineer or I was going to be a failure. But that really motivated me. And then my mother's father, who is Cecil that I wrote about in Good Enough, which was my hero. When my dad didn't show up to Donuts for Dad, a school function, my granddad was hiding behind a bush waiting to see if he would be good enough to go with me to get donuts. So, you know, just a lot of stuff that people experience in all sorts of ways, just difficulty. And it made me talkative and get in trouble and confrontational, and all that stuff carried well on into my 20s, gave me a kind of half good reputation in town for loud firings and, you know, just extremely defiant behavior. But it all went hand in hand with a really soft inside that had a need to be protected with a tough exterior. That's where the highway queen was, just the girl that could survive this job. And they met in the middle, you know, musically and creatively with things like High Class Hillbilly, which were the safe and not so safe way to put out my craft. I used to say, if you don't like my record, it could hurt my feelings. But if you don't like my t-shirt, you're wrong. You know, so just always, keeping all those things in balance. High Class Hillbilly, denim and diamonds, just always the juxtaposition of the two worlds meeting in the middle to become this hurricane of a person that I accidentally am. And I'm, you know, frankly, quite done trying to tame because there's just nothing to be done about it, you know.
I hope you never do. First of all, thank you so much for sharing all that.
And is that too heavy for the radio?
Never too heavy for Shiro's, that's for sure. And I'm honored to be here for you. We've known each other quite a long time.
Dozen years, as long as I've been doing it.
I appreciate you so much. And I adore you. And thank you. And let's take a break from talking here and play some of Good Enough. Since you mentioned that, seems like a good place for that.
Yeah, it's a song about vows and commitment that I have yet to find, but I think my grandparents fully represent it.
And Cecil was the first man to ever teach me patience was in the palm of my hand. He said, girl, work hard and just be good to the land, and you'll find love and all that glitters. Sometimes it's tiny as a splinter. As long as I can be good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
That's good enough from the most recent Nikki Lane album called Denim and Diamonds. I'm so happy to have her here with us on She Rose Radio. We were talking and getting some of your background. Was I just hearing that fashion and high class hillbilly music, they sort of happen at the same time?
They just always had to interact. I mean, definitely I didn't play music till I was 25. I moved to LA when I was just shy of 19. I turned 19 a couple months later. I was a nanny and I was Nicole Lane Frady, and I was considering opening a shoe line. I had started hand painting vintage shoes and wanted to order some wholesale. I have one pair with my original Nikki Lane box over at the store on display, but I managed to get 500 pairs of shoes made with my name on them and subcontracted them out. And Nikki Lane, the name, was born. I knew when I moved to California, I either wanted to work at a record label or be a designer. And I think slowly I found my way. Like I said, it didn't occur to me to try something vulnerable like being the front woman of something until I was making really good money. I was a high school dropout. So once I got into a field where I was making, you know, 50, 60 grand in LA and then New York, I was like, oh, I can do something fun. And then I just threw it all sideways and got a small record deal and then had to lose all the good jobs and go back to being broke. And I would always say I'm like too smart to do that, you know. So High Class Hillbilly was born out of necessity. The first 2 years of playing music, I went to the Goodwill by the pound every morning. I could spend up to $50 on leather goods. I had to go home and polish my items and list them on Etsy and make a post on Facebook or something to promote that I had done it. You know, I was working for myself every day. And it's a disease of its own, because now that is High Class Hillbilly. It's Stage Top Marketplace. We do a project for a hotel called Countrypolitan. And then I still try to tour 100 shows a year. So it's a bug, you know, to work that hard, but they just kind of went hand in hand. You know, there were years where I played at Dan's Silverleaf in Denton, Texas, and I sold 4 CDs and $265 worth of boots. And, you know, and I ate off of boots that night, not music. And other cities where that would flip. And it was just about trusting both. And in things like the pandemic, where a lot of our friends really were suffering, everybody was, I felt really grateful that I had 4 jobs, because 2 of them still worked, if not better. And so I've always prided myself on strong work ethic and being able to navigate hurdles and expecting hurdles to come. So it just has to go hand in hand.
And you always do it with a smile, I have to say. You know,
crying. You just see me.
What we don't see is the other side,
yeah,
right?
I have a very jovial spirit, but that's why Instagram, I say the many moods of Nikki Lane. You know what I mean? To experience great happiness, there's probably great sadness somewhere there. So, you know, it gets hard to do a lot. And it seems like a curse sometimes. And then other times it feels like the most ultimate blessing, you know, so I just take it all in stride. It's going to make a really good book one day.
Oh, hell yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
There's just so many things that build all of these songs. It's like I'm in a really healthy, loving relationship now. And I told him the only thing I worry about is, what am I going to write about if he didn't do anything wrong?
Something that we haven't talked about is sexism and misogyny in music. And I would love to get your take. You are such a, again, appearances, such a strong woman. You give the impression that you take no shit. Mm-hmm. And I would look at that from the outside and maybe say like, oh, she probably doesn't have those kinds of issues or knows how to navigate them in her own way.
They just get real big real fast and then go away. And then if I'm doing my job, they don't repeat because you know not to.
Right. So what has your journey been like?
That's the thing, is like, as much as I'm fully aware of how much it negatively impacts many women because of those tough raisings, you know, I have had to deal with less. Or if I've dealt with it, it's been a really good story, like the incident that never was to be repeated. And I do have like a couple people that I have to keep an eye on as humans. But I joke, I don't have a lot of stalkers because I stalk back, and I call myself a mirror plus 20%, because I will give somebody whatever they're giving me. And so we were talking today about a business relationship that ended because they said, apologize or else. And it was in a situation where I knew he was bluffing. And I said, well, it's going to be or else, you know, because of my dominant nature, I don't catch a lot of, I've definitely like backed my van and trailer like in a perfect circle, like around a man in the tire parking lot, because I was trying to get radial tires, and he was telling me why I should consider something else. And he was going to talk to my bandmate because maybe he'd understand it better. And I said, he don't even know how to drive this thing. And I backed it up in like a little hook around him and drove off. But I know it's out there. And I say that when I meet women that are quieter and softer, I find myself really being their for them. Mm. It was over for me a long time ago. I work now to be softer, to be more feminine, because my first job was at a car dealership. I worked in crazy restaurant environments. I tour around the world with boys, and they learned real quick that I got bigger balls than them. You know what I mean? And just because of the way I was raised. And so it does happen less. And when it happens, like innocently from a stranger or someone who doesn't know, they normally cower very quick because I try not to, but I immediately access all of that crazy I was raised in. But I don't want that for women. I don't want us to have to become awful women to get away with equality, you know? So I think it is a constant banding together and fighting for respect. And you get so deep and crazy quick when you start talking about the differences of how the male and female world works. But I just live like a hardworking, independent person who was born without money and wanted to make a bunch of it, you know, and I just approach everything like that. And, you know, I joke with it, men and women are confused because like we have so much in common. Men can't even have a flu without being total wimps, and women have like such a strong pain threshold. But women could claim that they can't mud a drywall on a wall, but they can make a beautiful cake. And there's just so many things that really overlap and are just deemed masculine and feminine. And it's really breaking all that down to a human level that maybe is the core of getting us the respect we deserve. And then there's also the reality that if the system isn't designed to let it happen, we're fighting uphill anyways with all issues.
That's it. So well said. When you were talking, I was thinking about Born Tough.
Well, my daddy always told me I was living in a man's world, but that don't mean there ain't room for a big-hearted girl. So my mama took me pick and said that we could buy a set of tools so that I could build my own life and play by my own rules.
That's Born Tough from Denim and Diamonds, and we have Nikki Lane here on Shiro's Radio. The reason why we played Born Tough is that you were born tough, and how you handle sexism and misogyny when you encounter it. It's very inspiring, actually, to listen to you talk.
I mean, and I feel it deeply, but the easiest way to let it go, like I said, was to overexpress a lot of the trauma and stuff when I was young. I would just tell people about it, and it made it less bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To hear it out loud. I was like, yeah, my dad dumped a dump truck of debris on my mom's boyfriend's house because he was mad. What? You know, but the more you said it, the more it became like a movie that Matthew McConaughey needs to be in. I still know a lot of my peers from my childhood who had similar trauma. We all bonded together real quick. We didn't know why, but a lot of those people really leaned into victim mentality. And I think if I just let it be a knock in my potential that I was a girl, that I was a poor girl, that I was a poor girl who grew up in domestic violence, that I was a poor girl who talked too much, that probably would have been quite self-limiting, you know? I just used as much of this stuff as I could to my advantage.
Before we wrap up, if I were to give you a Shiro's magic wand today, Nikki, and say you could change anything in music for women and non-binary folks, what would that be, if anything?
Music is just one art outcome. I think that I would be more interested in giving young people the opportunity to understand the back ends of basic business, which would lend into being able to be a better musician. And I'm smart and I pay attention, but if I knew what kind of deals were good and bad, I would have saved myself a lot of trouble. And music is expression. Like, if we're just talking about the music, there's no limitations. You know, all we got to do is figure out how to get instruments into children's hands at a young age so they can dive into it. But I wrote my first songs with a pencil on a steering wheel. So the music part is easy. It's once we want to, like, let people bring that to light, you know, we could work on all the sorts of individual ways to make it more fair and more tangible, but it's a business. You know, I understand why pop country radio wants to have everyone look and sing the same. They are controlling their asset. That's smart for them, you know, but I don't want to play into that world. So I just need for myself to be able to know the ways that I can navigate the approach I want to take. And if I could have known some of that information at a younger age, and sex education, all of these things that become issues as adults when you're trying to turn your art into a career or when you're trying to navigate adulthood, we're not well equipped, you know? And so I think it's just equipping young people with more information to navigate the real world later on, so that if they do have that slight curse and blessing of pursuing art as the way they are sustainable as a human, that they're equipped with the tools to do so. And then you want to clear the path for them. But again, that's dreaming. The core thing there would be my magic wand that would just give us the spirit to think we could even take those things on at a young age.
Who are your sheroes?
Career-wise, I really want to be like Lucinda Williams, where there's a anonymity still in a lot of environments, but the queen of her world. There's women like Wanda Jackson, who I see, no matter how old she got, with just such a great spirit and an energy that shows me like how she carved out her path. But the number one is Loretta Lynn, and Dolly Parton. But we know everybody picks Dolly because they're utilizing their growth and the net that they cast. I'm always like, talking about the net that I can throw and like sharing that with the people that I collaborate with to throw the bigger net. And Dolly and Loretta are the pillars of that community, right? But Loretta Lynn, as my personal goal, because I love to develop properties and space and the environment around me. So the Loretta Lynn campground and property that her family built, the fact that she created such a large family and family infrastructure, which takes care of her, but also she took care of them, a symbiotic relationship, and utilizing her fans to essentially pay for the growth of a beautiful idea that was shared, which is that property. The more events that they were able to hold, the more the event space and the property grew to accept more and more and more patrons. And now she basically has her own Graceland, you know, posthumously or whatever. It's really inspiring because, not that I think about the Graceland part, I don't want anybody in this cool house, but just to create a space that's welcoming of all those people, friends that don't go out to meet fans. And it's truly because of anxiety. It's not because they don't love their fans, but I really feed off of it. So I spend a lot of time out there and I tell my fans, I know that, you know, they're 1/500th of how I, or 500,000 of how I like live. And I, of course I would come out to meet them because I know that my job exists because of 700,000 employers basically saying that they want me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Nikki Lane, thank you for being with us. Could you choose a song off of Denim and Diamonds to take us out today?
Well, if you're going to brag about being a defiant woman who does whatever she wants, let's listen to the title track, Denim and Diamonds.
I started counting up all my little problems and the doors that I should probably close.
With thanks once again to Nikki Lane. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Nikki Lane for joining us. Her fourth album, Denim and Diamonds, is out now on New West Records. Next, we close the hour with a guest DJ pick from Dori Zori from Radio Milwaukee when Shiro's Radio continues.
From our 88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Oh, man, I feel the blues coming on. A Louisiana woman down in New Orleans. I said I love a Louisiana woman. She lives down in New Orleans. She's a big fine woman. One of those Creole queens. The way she sashays, it make me wanna write bad checks. You know that's true. Yes, I said the way that she sashays make me wanna write bad checks. Be looking so fine. All the fellas on the street be stretching their necks. For 7 years, everything was right. I said for 7 years, my baby. Everything was right. But when we got into number 8, all we did was fight. I don't know why.